Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Okay, let's pray. God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We know it's life-changing. We know it's powerful. And as we apply it to our lives, we get revelation and understanding. It's the difference maker. And so, Lord, let tonight be no exception with that. And we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tonight I want to speak on the subject, God only knows. And if you've ever been in a discussion and someone's, said that and they're talking about someone and they go, God only knows. Well, God only knows. And so I just want to get two or three volunteers up here, and it's okay, you don't have to stress, so I'm just going to pick them. So I'm going to pick Hamish and Andy, and Steph. So Hamish, you just stand here. Andy, there. No comedy acts, please. Steph, if you can stand over there. It's all right. It's just an illustration. They don't have to do anything, so it's okay. Don't stress, guys. It's all right. I don't want you to stress. So we're all on a journey in life, and we're all at different stages in life. And it's important that we don't compare ourselves one to another. The Bible says don't compare ourselves. Don't think more highly of each other than we should. And if we were to get a close look at the lives of Andy and of Hamish and of Steph, they're all at a different place. They're all at a different place in their walk with God. They're all at a different place in life. And it's important we know and understand that. And for each of us here, we're all at a different place. And it's important that we don't say, well, I wish I was like Andy, or I wish I was like Hamish, or I wish I was like Steph, because God has a different journey for each of us. And it's important that we know and that we understand that. And God knows exactly where we're at and exactly where he wants to take us. So give these guys a hand. Thanks, guys. Amazing effort. So here's a couple of scriptures. And we see in Acts 10, 34 to 35, just to back up what I said, it says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. So he accepts all those who fear him and do what is right. In Philippians 1, 6, it's one of my favourite scriptures. It says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. And then 1 Samuel 16, 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. What's hidden under the surface is not necessarily what we see on the outside. And so as I had these three up here, what God's saying to them individually isn't necessarily what he's saying to you. But God knows the heart. God knows the heart of every man. The Bible's clear and it says that. God knows your deepest thoughts. God knows what he's asked of you. Hebrews 4:13, we can put these scriptures up here. Wow, what's going on there? That's not what I looked at. Oh, man, that's just gone everywhere. So we're going to have to put up with that. That's not good. That's come out really badly. It was fine when I saw it. Okay, so I'll read it, see if you can follow it. If you've got some binoculars, see how you go. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." Proverbs 15:3, "The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good." And Jeremiah 23:24, "Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord?" When I was about 12 or 13, I had me and a mate. I might have told this story before, but that's what happens when you start getting grey hair. You tell lots of different stories. When I was about 12 or 13, me and a mate were down at a park, and anyway, we found this packet of smokes, and we, you know, smoking wasn't a good thing and wasn't encouraged in our family, but we found this packet of smokes, and we thought, well, let's give this smoking thing a try. So we lit a couple up, and I nearly died from a coughing fit when I first had a smoke, and so anyway, we thought nothing more of it, threw it away, but I felt very guilty about smoking because I know it's not good for your health and everything. And so for ages I felt guilty, and my mate came up to me and he said, he was having a laugh, and he said, "Oh, you know, I told Mum about that, and you know, she just laughed with me and said, oh, we won't do it again." But I didn't have the actual courage to tell my mum what I'd been up to when I was smoking, and I just had this immense amount of guilt about it. And whenever it came to mind, I just felt really guilty, and I thought, gee, I hope Mum never finds out. And this is over 2 or 3 years. You know, in the end, I did tell her in the end. I think she knows now. But it was one of those, it was one of those things where I was concerned about what my mum thought and what, you know, how she was concerned. But she didn't know. But I can tell you, God knew. God knew. Couldn't hide it from him. And God cares about the little things in our life. He cares about the little things. I'm just trying to unpack something here before we get into the main crux of the message. But in Proverbs 6:10, hopefully you can follow this. Oh, that's better. That's much better. Proverbs 6 verse 10 says, "A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber." 1 Corinthians 5:6, "Your boasting over the supposed spirituality of your church is not good. Indeed, it is vulgar and inappropriate. Do you not know that just a little leaven ferments the whole batch of dough, just as a little sin corrupts a person or an entire church?" Luke 16:10, "Who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much, and he who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much." And if we continue on, James 3:5-6, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles." God cares about the little things. And the last one that I want to read is Song of Solomon 2:15. It's one of my favourite scriptures. "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom." The other day I walked past the front of my house, and as we've been talking about foundations, I walked past the front of my house, and looking at our house on the left-hand side is our bedroom, and it's got a fairly big window out the front. The house is about 40-odd years old. And I noticed for the first time, we've been living in this place for 2 years, I noticed for the first time there's a crack running through our bricks, which is kind of like this, down and through our bricks. And I looked at it closely and I hadn't noticed, but it had been repaired before. And so I thought to myself, I'll have to keep an eye on that. I'll have to keep an eye on that little crack in the bricks. But you know, if I fix the crack in the bricks from the outside, it's not going to fix the issue. It's not going to fix the issue. See, the issue can't be seen. The real issue is hidden. And to find it, I will have to crawl under the house. And the strength in the building is almost always in what you can't see. Now, it could be one stump that has just dropped a little bit out of many stumps in the whole house. And to fix the issue, it might be just dealing with one little stump out of many. See, there's a great story in the book of Joshua which helps us to understand the danger and the power of what is hidden in our lives and how dangerous little things are. The story is about, just follows the story of when the walls of Jericho came down. And it's when God gave them instruction on what to do immediately when they came into Jericho, and what followed of one man and the outworking of his sin. And so as we go through this story, the way I want you to look at it tonight, as I've been talking about the little things and some of the things that are hidden, is that I want you to look at Israel as your life. I don't want you to look at it from a point of view of the Israelites as in a whole heap of individuals. What I want you to do is look at the whole of the Israelites as your life and the elements that make up your life. And the man we're talking about is a guy called Achan. Now, you may have heard about him before, but I really want to break this story up, and this won't take too long. I've got 10 or 11 slides, and I just want to pull apart the story, and you'll see where I've been going with God cares about the little things, and he knows what's going on in your life. So just continue to think God only knows. So we can go to the first slide in this one, which is the first slide in this story is God. It's gone back. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, let's keep moving. God gives clear instruction. And so this is immediately after they come into Jericho. And it says, Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protects our spies. Now, just before I read the rest, this is after they've marched around Jericho 7 times. If you're not up with where the story is, but they've marched around Jericho 3 times. And this is the part I want you to hear. And this is the instruction that God clearly gave to the Israelites. He said, do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. So as we look at that scripture, what I want to ask is, what has God asked of you that no one else knows about, that only God knows? What has he asked of you? It could be a sin, or it could be something that God has asked you to make a change in your life. Let's go to the second slide. As we move down to the story of Joshua 6:24, we see that according to Joshua, all has gone to plan. And we'll read it together. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only the things made from silver, gold and bronze or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. We often look at a life, and as we looked at the lives up here, and I'm not picking on these guys, but we often look at a life and think that everything is rosy. And we think it's all looking okay, but under the surface, God's been dealing with some issues that only God knows about. And so it's important to just keep remembering that God knows. Don't forget that in this whole message. God only knows. He knows your inmost thoughts. He knows everything. Everyone else thinks everything's okay, but God knows exactly what's going on. And if we go to Joshua 7:1, the comment I've got there is God only knows one man out of all Israel acted unfaithfully, even though even Joshua wasn't aware of what was going on. This is what God said, but Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. So what's the one part of your life that God has asked you to address, that only you know about and God knows about? What are the things that are hidden that God has asked you to deal with? As we continue on in the story, with the next slide, God knows, but he allows life to continue. Before I read this, when there is a problem and it's starting to show itself, life doesn't stop, it continues. And God allows life to continue. So God didn't say, righto, stop everything. God allowed life to continue in this situation. Joshua 7, 2 to 3. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai. So life's continued and they're thinking everything's okay, we're going to move forward. East of Bethel near Beth Haven. When they returned, they told Joshua, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all our people struggle to go up there. So life continues and Joshua's like, yep, no worries, send them all up there. We don't need to send all those guys up there. It'll be fine. Life's all good. Even though something's been addressed in my life, I'm going to continue to live it and think that everything's going to be fine. When there's a problem, life doesn't stop. Particularly, we need to be aware of the hidden things. And God only knows. So as we see the next slide, the hidden issue shows up. Joshua 7, 4 to 5. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. There's no way the Israelites should have lost that battle. They shouldn't have lost the battle. They had more power, but there was an issue that was hidden. I wonder whether you've ever been in a situation when something goes horribly wrong and you're a part of it and you know it's because of you. Think of a situation in your life in the past where something's gone wrong and you know it's you and you know the issue's you. And yet you're too scared to say. You know God's addressed something with you, but you haven't done anything about it. So as we move on to slide 6, it's God's fault. The old chestnut, it's God's fault. Let's have a look at what Joshua says. Then Joshua cried out, "O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan if you are going to let the Amorites kill us?" At this stage, Joshua doesn't know about the hidden issue. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. He's not sure of what's going on. So he's gone, "God, it's your fault. It's your fault that the Amorites are going to kill us. If only we had been content to stay on the other side. If only we'd been content to stay where life was. If only we'd be content to not push forward, and if only we'd be content to not go on in the things of you, not to go deeper in the things of you. I wish we'd stayed where you were." But it's God's fault. "For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land heard about it, they will surround us and wipe our name off the face of the earth." And there's the "feel sorry for ourselves." "And then what will happen to the honour of your name?" So let's just put it back on God again. We remember it's happened before in the Old Testament. We remember Abraham, the great story of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had a great idea when God had promised them that they would have a son. Sarah had a great idea and she said, "How about Abraham, you go and sleep with Hagar and have a baby with them, and that'll be our descendants." And then it all went pear-shaped and all went wrong. And guess whose fault it was? It was Abraham's fault. It was God's fault. How often, when we know there's an issue, things go wrong and then it's God's fault. It's not God's fault. Deal with the hidden issue. Joshua 7, 10 and 13, if we go to the next slide, don't just pray, deal with it. "But the Lord said to Joshua," and Joshua lay down on his face and he was praying about it and he was coming to God. And it says here, "But the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Get up. Command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow.'" Remember, we're seeing the children of Israel as us as a person. "Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, hidden in your life, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord." And I love this. "You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you." So what's hidden? You know what? Sometimes an altar call isn't enough. Sometimes we respond to an altar call, but sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes we've actually got to put our best foot forward and go, "No more. We're going to deal with this today. No matter what the cost is, we're going to deal with it." Taking a step pushes a door, and sometimes we don't know what's going to be on the other side, but that's the walk of faith that we walk. And if God has our best interest at heart, and I can say I've been there where I've pushed a door and it didn't go well at the start, and it can be scary, but in the end, God's freedom is better than staying where you're at and hiding the hidden issue. Next slide, number 8, the engineer's report for the hidden issue. Joshua 7, 11 to 12, "Israel has sinned and broken my commandment." See, it's the one thing that's caused all of Israel. It's the one thing in our life that causes us to lose the battle. Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. What things in your life has God asked you to set apart? And you've continued in your way. And they have not only stolen them, but they have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now, and this is where we're going back now to God's instruction. For now, Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. And if we go back to 6:18, and there it is in black and white, do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. The engineer's report from the hidden issue, the builder of our lives will probably know best and will probably find the issue fairly quickly, because only God knows. And if it's something hidden from anyone but you, you'll probably know as well. And God's probably spoken to you about it. God doesn't back away. And sometimes we may not understand the reasons why he asks things of us. But the outworking can be powerful, both negatively or positively. And we see the next one, number 9. Be honest with yourself and others if necessary about the hidden issue. Joshua 7:19-21 says, then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. By telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deep, deeper than the rest. See, this isn't about anyone else. This is about you. This is about the truth between you and God. See, it's not what God has asked of someone else. It's about what God has asked of you. It's not about what God has asked of Steph or Hamish or Andy. It's what God has asked of you. Now, can I just say that this may not be just about sin. It could be about sin. It could be about hidden sin. This could be about something hidden that you know God has challenged you on. It could be about how you handle money. You might handle money inappropriately. And you kind of think, should be okay. But God has pinned you on it and said, maybe that's enough of that. See, it could be about abusing trust with your boss, because you might be kind of thinking, it's okay to take sick days. I can take a holiday sick day. That's okay. I'm not saying it's for anyone else, but maybe God's challenged you. Maybe it is hidden sin. It's between you and God. Only God knows. Maybe you've got an alcohol issue that you're hiding. Maybe you're angry at someone. Maybe you're angry at God and you're hiding it. Looks okay on the outside, but the issue is hidden. Maybe it's how you use your time. Maybe it's your habit patterns. Maybe it's your thoughts, because no one else knows about your thoughts. But God knows. And maybe God's challenged you about your thoughts. Thoughts about family members or friends, about where your mind goes, lust. And just because it's little, because God cares about the little things, remember, don't brush it aside. Even if God's challenged you because it's little, don't hide it. It's important that we're honest with ourselves and others, if necessary, about the hidden issue. As we draw to a close, as we see, and this is a pretty full-on scripture, the next one is finish the job and leave the enemy a reminder. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you." And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. Didn't end up well for Achan. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains to this day. That is why the place has been called the Valley of Trouble ever since. So the Lord was no longer angry. It's time to stone it and burn it. Finish the job now. This seems brutal, but it shows how passionate God is about us, about our lives, and about the freedom that He wants us to live in, about the victories He wants us to have. And He knows the danger of things that are hidden in our lives that maybe no one else can see, but God only knows. If we have a look at the last slide, number 11, removing the hidden issue could be the key to winning the next battle. Joshua 8, 1 to 2 and 28 says, remember they were defeated in battle. And then it said, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king, but this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. So Joshua, and we go to verse 28, and it says, so Joshua burned the town of Ai, and it became a permanent mound of ruins, desolate to this very day. You keep losing the battle, and yet you are hiding something that God has spoken to you about. Maybe it's time to deal with the hidden issue. It's hidden, but it's dangerous. It's hidden, and it could be the answer to the victory, the next victory. If we can have the worship team up here, please. You will know tonight if this word is for you. May not be for everyone, but you will know very clearly if this word is for you. And I actually would like to have a response tonight. I wasn't going to, but I would like to have a response. But don't come up if it's just going to be another altar call. Be determined that it's going to change tonight. Because the cracks start to appear on the outside of the house eventually. They will, if it's a hidden issue. And so, as we sing this song, it's almost like you're standing forward to make a commitment to see this issue dealt with. To declare that there's a hidden issue because you're sick of losing the battles. You're tired of it. You're tired of those things happening again and again, and yet you know God has spoken to you. Doesn't matter what the issue is, but it does matter that we deal with it and we're honest with God, especially God. But if you need to be honest with others, then do that. So as we sing tonight, just come forward as if we all stand, if we can all stand now. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to sing. Father, we just thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that you care about our lives. You care about the little things in our lives. And that you know what's going on, even if others don't know what's going on. And God, I pray that just as Joshua, he didn't know what was going on, but it came when they lost the battle. Lord, I pray that we would know and realise where the hidden issue is. And we'd be honest with you and with ourselves. Confess if we need to. But Lord, make a commitment tonight to get up, just as God asked Joshua to get up and deal with the issue. Father, I pray for your power on anyone that comes forward, that you would empower them to walk it through and see victory on the other side. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.